John chapter 12 this evening. We'll go there in just a moment. I want to thank you so much for allowing us to be with you this evening and this week. We're not planning on being here. If you've heard the story a little bit, we were in Apopka, Florida. We're down there at the Hope Baptist Church of Apopka, Florida, helping out Brother Ray Hadley down there. He's been down there for about 20 years and really struggling away down there, toiling away for the Lord. And we were down there helping him. We're going to be there for a few weeks. We're going to hopefully go back next Sunday. And we're holding a week of meetings down there. And hopefully we'll be going back down there. Let me say that. You pray hard about that. I talked with him on the phone this morning. And as of this morning, around 8:30, he still had power. That was a good thing. But they had not experienced the eye of the storm by any means yet. And we're praying for them. And you pray for them as well. So we fled the storm. We came back. We were just here about a week or a week and a half ago. And I had no plans of being back here. We were in town getting some winter clothes and preparing for a trip this coming winter out west, doing some things on the trailer as well. And we came back. We came back as quickly as we could be, and we're here. And I thank the Lord just for the church here and allowing us to kind of use a little bit of real estate out here for a few days and for your hospitality. Some people ask us, how do you do it? How do you travel full-time in evangelism? I mean, obviously, during the winter, don't your pipes freeze? Yes, every once in a while our pipes freeze, but we've been down to 15 below. Up in Denver last February, we were down to 15 degrees below zero. And it was cold. I tell you what, it was cold. We were also in Utah. We were out there in the first or second week of February. And we got 24 inches of snow. I'll go wherever a guy calls me to go, okay? And even if it means going through a hurricane, I'll do it. But I do know that I need to get out for my family's sake. And we did that. But I often have said, well, what are you going to do when a tornado comes or a hurricane comes? Well, what I'm going to do is I plan on this. I'm going to pack up everything that I have at a church. I'm going to go as quickly as I can to Erickson Stadium there in Charlotte. Park in the end zone because I hear there are never any touchdowns there. So that is my plan. Some of you will get that in a moment. And when you laugh, everybody will be amused by that. John chapter 12 this evening. Let's go there real quickly, please. And I thank you so much once again just for allowing us to be here. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Would you please stand with me out of respect for reading God's word in his house this evening. John chapter 12. Verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he'd raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag that bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Father, I pray you be with us this evening as we look at that beautiful aroma, Father, that Mary gave to Jesus Christ. I pray that you would allow us to have a beautiful aroma about us as we go out and serve you. Help us to do our part in this world and in this church and in this community. Help us do our part to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve you wholeheartedly without any question, Father. I pray that we will walk out of here changed and different according to your image as a result of being here, Father. I pray you would take away the distractions of this coming week, of the past week, Father, but you would allow us for the next few moments to truly focus upon your word, to focus upon what you have for us this evening, and that we will make genuine change, lasting change in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we travel around the country, I have been in evangelism for around 2 years. We have been in some different places. We've been as far west as California. We've been in Arizona, Utah, you name it, New England states, Florida, all the different places you can imagine we've been to. And as we travel around the country, I have recognized something very quickly. As we go through, I believe there's one area on I-40 up near Canton. I will use my lead foot. Now, I don't condone this by any means, but every once in a while, when I go by a certain area there on I-40 in Canton, North Carolina, I will use that lead foot. Why do I do that? Well, because there is a wonderful aroma that permeates through the car, through the truck, and you will recognize that. There is a paper mill there. You know what I'm talking about? Those smells. You want to get as fast as you can away from that. Have you ever been in a locker room after a basketball game? You know what I'm talking about, gentlemen. You've been there, maybe in a halftime. I coached basketball. I coached soccer 1 year. And when I would go in at halftime, it was not the most enjoyable smells. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I did not enjoy the time where everybody wanted to get around at the end of the pep talk, you know, the coach gives his pep talk, and everybody huddles around, and they get together, and they do their little chant, their one, two, three, rah, rah, rah kind of thing, you know, and then they pray, and then we go out, and we pursue that team the next half, you know. I didn't enjoy that because of the smells. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I've been. You know what, you know the exact situation that we're going through. I want to talk about that a little bit this evening, all the smells that we maybe permeate through the room when we walk into that room. I have been in some different situations. I've also talked to some missionaries. You know what I'm talking about. You walk up to those missionaries. We were out in Utah, Nephi, Utah. There was a man by the name of Keith South. He is out there. He's been planting a church for almost 10 years, a wonderful man of God. And I tell you what, walking up to this man, spending some time with him, just getting to know him and just the character of this man, being around him, the enthusiasm he has for the people that are out there, you get that contagious smell about you as well. You want to be around him. You have desire to be next to this man because of his zeal, because of his enthusiasm for Jesus Christ and God Almighty. And that is the idea that I want to see in this passage this evening, this idea of the smell that went through that room that Mary gave that day to Jesus Christ. As you look at this passage, you will recognize this, that there were in those days, obviously, there was people that were peering in through the windows. They wanted to see who this Jesus Christ was. They wanted to see what was taking place as far as what he might do next, the miracles that he could perform. There was Lazarus. He was there, and at that day, Lazarus was there. He had been raised from the dead, and you see all these different peoples that were there. The disciples were there. All the different peoples were looking in. They wanted to see what Jesus Christ was going to do. And then here comes Mary. Mary spends some time, a little bit of time, on Jesus Christ. She goes down. She kneels at Christ's feet. She wipes this ointment on Christ's feet. She wipes her hair across Christ's feet. And then a beautiful smell emanates through that room. Why was that so interesting? Why is that so interesting to me? I believe it is this, because she was the great example of a servant of God that wanted to do whatever she could for Jesus Christ. You look at her life, and you look at what she had been saved out of. You look at what God had done for her, and where he had placed her, and how what a wonderful example was for us to look at, and to see, and to look back upon. And I believe that we as Christians need to be about the business of doing what just Mary did, serving God with our heart. I want you to notice three things this evening about Mary's gift, and then we'll be done. I want you to notice, first of all, that she gave it all. There was no reserves held back by Mary. This was probably about 1 year's worth of wage, many commentators state, and she gave 1 year's worth of wage to Jesus Christ. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in a situation where you've been around those missionaries and they're serving God? But let me ask you this. Have you given all that you have to Jesus Christ? Have you given everything that you have? Maybe you're a college student, maybe you're an adult, and you say, well, you know what? I believe I'm serving God with all my heart. You know what? I am going to introduce myself a little bit to you. I am probably not the same person that you probably recognize from when I was a little kid when I came here to this church. But several years ago, I went out from the university there, and we went up to Plymouth, Indiana. Taught at a Christian school for 2 years in Plymouth, Indiana, and then we went on to Terre Haute, Indiana. I was an administrator there at a Terre Haute Christian school. I felt good about myself. I tell you what, I felt good about what I was doing. I'm serving God, you know. I went out into the ministry. I'm only getting paid $12,000 a year for the first year that I was serving. And I tell you what, Lord, I'm sacrificing for Jesus. You know, I'm driving around an old bummy car. I'm doing all the different things. I mean, I live in an old duplex apartment that had about, the insulation was next to nil. It didn't have insulation in it. You know what I'm talking about. And I mean, it had little tiny thin walls. I mean, we could hear the people next door. We could hear the music. I mean, we could just hear everything they had to say every time of the day. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I am suffering for you. I am serving you. What more can I give? I am giving my life to these young people. I'm teaching them. I'm trying to be an example to them. And you know what? I began to really think very highly of myself and what I was doing. And you know what? Have you not been in that situation, maybe, where you feel very good and very comfortable about where you are? We went on to Terre Haute, Indiana. And I believe it was the first year I was administrator. There was an evangelist by the name of Mike Maynard. I've gotten to know him real well lately. And he came in, did a revival meeting. And he began to preach on pride. You know what? I did not think anything too much of it at the very beginning of the message, but all of a sudden, God began to smite you. You know what I'm talking about? In those situations that you've been in, maybe a service such as this, where God really begins to deal with your heart and with your life, and he begins to say, hey, I'm talking specifically to you, and he was talking specifically to me. And I said, you know what, Lord, I've done everything I can for you. I'm serving you. I'm sacrificing for you. Lord, you know what? I don't know that I can give you any more. I don't know that I can give you anything else. I mean, I'm really doing everything I can. I am suffering for you, Jesus. You know, I can't give you any more. And so I said, Lord, you know what? I'll do something for you. He said, yeah, you will. you will, because I want something more from you. I want something more for you. I want you to go into this issue of evangelism. I had been around promoting the school at different churches in the area, and we had been kind of promoting that school, and people had been coming to me saying, hey, you know what, why don't you consider something different in your life? And I said, no, I don't think so. I had some pastors ask me different questions like, why don't you consider maybe being a pastor or an evangelist or something like that? I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I never had intentions of being an evangelist. I have never had a dream or a desire to be an evangelist. You know what I mean? Evangelists, when you think about it, they are a bunch of gypsies. I mean, really, you think about it. Look at what they do. They travel around from church to church, church parking lot to church parking lot. You never know exactly where you are. Sometimes I get disoriented. I don't know exactly where I am sometimes when I wake up in the morning. You ask my wife, my dear wife, she puts up with that as well. But I never had a desire to do that. But you know what? God said, you walk the aisle and you give it over to me because you have not given your all. You're still reserving things for yourself. You like your little comfort pleasures of this life. You like your nice little office downstairs in that school. You like all the different little things that you have as far as maybe being the big guy in the school. You know what I'm talking about? You are the head honcho, the big cheese. You know, I mean, you, what you say goes. And all those different things. You enjoy that type of thing. And God said, I want you to do more. I want you to serve more. And I said, okay, Lord, that's fine. But you know what? My wife is not going to do that. You got to work on her. You know, wouldn't you know this? About a year later, we're preaching at a church in Lyford, Indiana. I was just pulpit filling for the day, and we came home. We were driving home, and things had gone really well. I mean, it was incredible. Some things had really worked out. People were making some decisions, and I was excited. I'm on cloud nine. I'm excited about what God had done that day, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden, in our little Ford Windstar, my wife, she says to me, you know what, Richard? You ought to consider being an evangelist. No. You're not supposed to say that, Rebecca. You can't do that. And after I brushed myself up, got up off the ground and jumped back in the van, I had a little discussion with my wife. Because now, all of a sudden, I recognize that God wanted something more from me. Now, let me ask you this. What more does God want from you? You say, well, wait a minute. I believe I'm serving God with all my heart. Well, you know what? Maybe you are. Maybe you have good intentions. Maybe you have good motives. But when it comes down to it, have you said no to God about something in the past? I said no to God about mission field and evangelism. And praise the Lord, I tell you what, I can't help but think I don't want to do anything else. I enjoy doing what I am doing. I'm still kind of under the radar a little bit. You know, I was at a meeting a few weeks ago, and some people asked me, you know, well, what are you doing now? Are you still principal of the school? No, I'm an evangelist. And I mean, they just don't understand what has happened in my life. And I'm excited about what God's done. And I'm saying this, it only took place, and I am so excited, it only took place when I gave everything over to God. I had a student come up to me just a few months ago, and he said, you know what, Mr. Boyle? He said, you're just a little bit different. You're a little bit different than when you were the principal. Yeah, well, you know what, because you were on the other side of the desk, and I was disciplining you most of the time. But you know what? He said, no, you're different. I said, yes, because you know why? God has done a work, and I'm fully surrendered to Him. No questions, no doubts. I am doing what God wants me to do without reservation, but are you? You know what? When you reach and meet those peoples, I mean, those missionaries, they come driving in. They may be a missionary. They come driving in. Have you ever seen this? They drive in that old Buick Regal that's maybe a 1985 model, you know, and they got a railroad tie strapped to the bumper for the bumper. You know what I mean? And, I mean, they're just kind of just barely getting to that church, you know. And but boy, I tell you what, when they get in the pulpit and they show their zeal in the mission field, the signs, whether it be Nicaragua or Nigeria or whatever it may be, Cambodia, I mean, you just want to be around them. You are excited for them. You see that zeal. You see that desire. And you know what? You say, well, why can't I have that? Well, why can't you? You can if you surrender to God. If you do whatever God wants you to do. If you don't quit. If you don't give in. If you just really give it over to Him. And I see that in Mary. You know what? You don't find her in this passage walking out of that room saying, you know what? I wish I had just given just a portion of that ointment. You know what? Boy, I tell you what, I can't believe I gave all of that 1 year's worth of wage. I can't believe I did that. You do not see her doing that. Why? Because she was very happy with what she had done. She gave it all to God. No reserves. Everything that she had. And I don't know what you're struggling with today. Maybe you are an adult and you have been holding back and you know that God wants you to teach in the Sunday school program of this church. Or you know that you are to be involved in the visitation program of this church. And you have been saying, Lord, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know if I really can do that. But you know what? You can do things with God's help and with God's strength. You can do exactly what God wants you to do. He will give you the means and the method to do it. You know, I tell you what, I look at what God has done in our life and how He's providentially provided and taken care of things and in other people's lives and how He puts people in the mission field day in and day out because people surrender to God. They give it their all. You say, well, you know what, Richard? Evangelist Boyle, you know, we are living in the last days. We're living in this city of Greenville, South Carolina. We're all surrendered to God in Greenville, South Carolina. You know what? I don't know that that's necessarily true. Because I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and I don't know that I was ever really truly surrendered to God until that day when that evangelist came in and he said certain things such as, you need to do more for God. You need to serve God with all your heart. And he began to pluck away at the pride issue in my life. And many times I believe that we sit in churches such as this week in and week out and we go through the routines, we go through the motions, but we've never truly surrendered and dedicated our life to Him. We're holding back and we say, well, you know what? I don't know. It would be kind of tough for me to go on the mission field. Yes, it would be. But you know what? The joys of seeing people really saved and truly saved and growth on the mission field and in evangelism, whatever it may be, so far outweigh the things of just going through the routines when you know you're out of God's will. Do I hear an amen? I mean, you know, I'm that kind of guy. I believe that we ought to be serving God with all our hearts, with everything that we've got, all the zeal. But you know what? Here, Mary, no reserves. She gave it all. I want you to notice, secondly, in this passage, she had no retreats. No retreats in this passage. Absolutely no retreats. She didn't quit. She didn't stop. She didn't give in. You know, you say, well, why is this? Well, you see this in this passage that the disciples were there. And there were a few disciples that became very vocal. I can see it very clearly. Here, Peter, you know, brash Peter. He is probably there as well. And you've got John, you've got all these different men there. And they're very, you know, scrutinizing, kind of critical of what was taking place there in that area and what was taking place in that room. And they wanted to say such things as, I can't believe that we're wasting time on this. I can't believe that we're wasting time. Lord, you know, why can't we do something a little more important? Why are we wasting time upon this time frame? And Mary, get about the business of doing something. I mean, what are you doing, Mary? Wasting all this time. But you know what? She, amidst the opposition, did not quit. She did not quit. You know, and I have learned that very quickly in life. Don't quit. Don't retreat when the opposition comes. I remember just a few months ago, we were traveling from Flagstaff, Arizona to Antioch, California for a meeting. This was back in January. And I tell you what, I was kind of under the gun. You know, I wanted to get to that church. We wanted to be there in time for the meeting, get to know the pastor a little bit more. It was actually Dr. Mincy, I believe Mark is here. And we were going to that church there to have a meeting that week. And it was just an exciting time. I was looking forward to that. I'd never been in the San Francisco area. I'd heard a lot of different things about it, just like many of you have heard a lot of different things about it, and I kind of was anxious to see it, and I was anxious to see the work as well in Antioch, and I heard a lot of things about that as well. And we're driving along on Friday evening, and we're driving through near Bakersfield, California. We're about 40 miles out of Bakersfield, California. I was on the phone with a dear friend of mine back in Terre Haute, Indiana, at our home church, and we were just talking away, having a good time. Late at night, you travel when you're evangelist late at night because the kids sleep really well, you know. And we were just driving along, and all of a sudden, when I got off the phone, I plugged that phone into that charger there, you know, and all of a sudden I see this little red battery light come on the dash panel. And you know what that means? That means that something has terribly gone wrong. Something terribly has gone wrong. And I tell you what, I don't know what all happened, but I mean, it was kind of a blur. I immediately went in. Now, you evangelists do this. I immediately went into panic mode, you know. When you're pulling a big trailer like ours out here, and it's 20,000 pounds, and you're just driving along, you know, and I mean, you're thinking to yourself, oh, great, you know, I've got electric brakes, I just got battery power, that's it, that's all that I have left. And then, of course, you know what happens, things just don't always get real, they don't get better. We hit some 6% downturn grades. 6% grades going downhill, 20,000 pounds. You do the math, you do the study. It just doesn't really work too well when you're running on battery power. I'm watching the voltmeter on this alternator. I'm seeing it slip down and down and down. And I am praying. You know, I tell you what, I was really close to God. I was ready to go. I was ready to meet Him that day. I was really ready. And my wife, she's over there in tears. She's in a state of shock, you know, and I'm shutting things down. I'm turning off. We have a little laptop that we use to get from point A to point B. And I'm unplugging things. I'm unplugging the batteries off the phone. You know, I'm just doing everything I can to shut things down, to save a little bit of power. And you know what happens too? You go through these little mountains. There was no exits. I mean, if you drive out west, there's no exits. Actually, they do have exits, but they lead you nowhere. I mean, you pull off on an exit ramp. There's a bridge there. You turn right. And there's nothing there. There's cactus or something. The road literally ends there, okay? I don't know why they spent money on the bridge, but that's what happens. And there were no exits. There's no way. There's no way for me to stop, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world am I going to do? I'm 40 miles outside of Bakersfield. I am doomed, you know? And I'm just driving along and just trying to get there. And, you know, I'm just so messed up. And I said, Lord, you got to help me out. You got to help me out. So we get into this mountain chain there, going down these 6% grades. Things didn't get much better. Then we hit some fog, windshield wipers, you know what I mean? Didn't go well. And finally, we get to the first exit to Bakersfield, and I hear the truck begin doing this. And you know that means that your fuel system is getting ready to shut down. So I shifted that thing into neutral, you know, and I'm just coasting down that exit ramp. I pull that thing into one of those U-store type situations, all the little garage doors, you know, and I blocked a bunch of garage doors. I'm thinking to myself, great, this is Friday night. There's going to be a bunch of people come in here Saturday morning wanting to move their stuff out. What am I going to do? I can't move my truck. I mean, it literally died. It was dead. I called a good friend of mine, Doyle Robertson. He was following us behind. They were doing the meeting, the music for that week of meetings. And he was back in Barstow. And I said, Doyle, I said, I got a problem. What can you do for me? How can you help me out? He said, I'll be there first thing tomorrow morning. So we got there. We stayed the night in that parking lot there. And he got there. We took the batteries out of the truck. We charged them up. And I have had mechanics tell me this doesn't happen. We drove for 246 miles from Bakersfield, California to Antioch, California. We pulled into that parking lot there, that church, and we were positioning the trailer for the week. Pastor Mincy, he's so blessed and so gracious. He said, hey, Brother Boyle, could you move your trailer over about one or two more feet? There's a building here. The school's going on. We've got a ramp here. We've got an exit door here. It'd really help out the school. I said, fine, no problem. Got in the truck. It died. It wasn't going to start again. The batteries were shot. You talk about it. We literally pushed the truck off the trailer that day to level the trailer. I mean, I said, Brother Mincy, I'm sorry, but I think the Lord wants that trailer to stay right there. And that's where it stayed that week, you know? And I mean, you talk about those times in your life where you really are struggling. I look at that. And I look at other situations. I have all kinds of other stories, okay? All kinds of other things that God has done for us to get us to places of ministry. And I look back at that and I say, you know what? Many times during that day, I said to the Lord, I want to quit. I want to quit. All kinds of opposition. All kinds of things were taking place. I don't know if it was satanic or not, but I didn't just tell you this. Something did not want me at that church that week. We had a wonderful week of meetings there. We've had several other situations like that where God has providentially provided and gotten us to places of meeting. And there have been so many obstacles. But too many times, though, we in the Christian life, what do? When the going gets tough, we want to pull off into the breakdown lane and we want to just sit there and twiddle our thumbs because it's just a little bit too difficult. I don't see that in the spirit of Mary Magdalene. She sits here, she pours it on Christ's feet, all kinds of opposition around her, and she continues pouring. She continues to give. She continues to go forward and on and on and on. And she knows what people are saying about her. She knows what people are thinking about her, but she did not quit. Praise the Lord. What an example. What an example. I look back at that week. Had some kids saved that week. We had one adult saved that week. Some kids who were coming home that week. They were ripping posters off their walls. Several parents came into the office and they said, what's going on? They were not members of the church. And, well, we're having a revival meeting and the evangelists have been speaking in the chapel services. We're able to witness and give testimony to them. You know what, folks? Yes, there's opposition. But if you quit, God can't use you. And I don't know what it may be. Maybe you're an adult sitting here today and you have been going through the storm of life. You know what I'm talking about? Literally, I've been going through the storm of life lately. You know, I mean, I am wearing down very quickly. I told Brother Clements here, I'm not feeling the greatest. Somewhere in the last few days, I picked up a flu bug or something and my throat is giving me problems. My everything's giving me problems. Okay. And I mean, you go through the storms of life and you know what? Your body, your physical situation says quit. Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to give in. Because if you quit, if you give in, then what's going to happen? You cannot be used of God. And I believe that we have so many churches that are filled and littered with Christians that have pulled off into the breakdown lane and they have just quit because of a little bit of opposition. And you say, well, that's easy for you to say, Brother Boyle. You sit up there and you can see all the good things that happen in life. You know what? No, I get to see some good things. But boy, I tell you what, I've met some good laymen that have seen some wonderful things that I will never see take place in their lives as a result of witnessing, as a result of serving. And God wants to use you too, if you would, but not quit. Maybe there's a college student today and you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, hey, you know what? This college thing is just not what I was planning on. It's not exactly what I was looking forward to, you know. It wasn't exactly what I was all cracked up to be. And you're just kind of debating leaving tomorrow morning and going back home. I don't know what it may be. You want to quit. You want to give in. But you know what? You cannot be used of God if you just pull off in the breakdown lane of life and you sit there and you don't go forward. God wants to use you. Boy, I tell you what, that night, I wanted to quit. My wife, you ask her. I mean, I sat there, I wanted to quit. There have been other times in our lives where we wanted to quit. But there's something deep down called the Holy Spirit of God that says, don't worry. I love that verse. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yeah, you know what? Satan may be attacking you, but you've got God Almighty upholding you with His hand. With His hand that created this universe. When you think about it that way, folks, why quit? He brings things into our lives to do a work on us, to change us, to send us forward for Him. But too many times, though, we sit there and we say, well, you know what? I'm a pretty good Christian. I'm serving God with all my heart. I'm doing what I can. I'm doing what's best for me. I believe I'm really suffering for Jesus here, you know. And I'm not saying that everybody ought to go in the ministry. God doesn't necessarily want everybody in the ministry. He wants people, good laymen, to go out there into the ministry of reaching people in their own fields. But I'm saying this, you need to serve God and surrender and be willing to do it. Be willing to witness. Be willing to give forth a message of the gospel. Be willing to pass out a tract. Just a few months ago, I was back in our home church in Terre Haute, Indiana. And a lady walked into the church services, and she was visiting that day. When we're in town, I get the visitor cards because I go visiting for the church. And I read through this and saw exactly where she was from. She walked in. And she sat there in that service. The message went forth. She walked the aisle. She was gloriously saved. The story goes like this. A pastor from another area was visiting Terre Haute, Indiana, stopped by the Ryan Steakhouse, and she was a waitress there. He had a nice conversation with her. And then, of course, you know what he did next. He left her with a tract, and he knew of our church. He recognized where the church was. He knew the name of it. He said, hey, go here on Sunday. And how many times have we done that ourselves? And we thought to ourselves, you know what, it's not going to happen. Well, you know what, she came. She came that day, and she heard the message of the gospel, and she was gloriously saved. And I'm saying, praise the Lord for a pastor that was away from his own area of ministry, but he was faithful to give the message of the gospel out to this young lady, and she was gloriously saved. And you know what? There was not an ounce of reservation, I believe, in that pastor's heart. He gave it all. He was willing to maybe have a little bit of shunning. He was willing to maybe have that girl look at him in the face and say, well, I don't need that kind of religion thing. I don't want anything to do with that. And haven't we all faced that? But you know what? If we do face that, what do? We get back out there and we continue fighting for Jesus Christ. We continue giving the message of the gospel out. We continue giving it forth as God wants us to give it forth. But too many times, though, when we face a little bit of opposition, too many times we turn tail and run. I find this very interesting. You read Ephesians chapter 5. It's very easy to read this. Go through this. You have the armament for the head. The armament for the sandals, the feet shod, the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, with the shield of faith, all the different things. You read through that. But you ever find this interesting? God never gives an armament for the back. Why? Because God does not expect us as Christians to turn tail and run. But too many Christians today are sitting in plush little environments and they are not serving God because they faced a little bit of opposition and they turned tail and they ran. They ran from a fight. They ran from the duty that God has called them to. I want you to notice finally tonight, She had no regrets. Like I said earlier, you may say, well, you know what? Absence is not a very good argument. Well, I'm going to use it anyways. You don't find in this passage, like I said earlier, Mary walking out of that building saying, I regret giving my all. You know why? Because she didn't regret it. God gave her a burden. God gave her a zeal. God gave her a desire to serve her master with all her heart. And she did it. She did it. But too many times, though, we simply stink spiritually. You know what I'm talking about, folks? If you're serving God with all your heart, you smell good. But if you're not, if you're holding back things from God, you stink. You come into a church service such as this, you sit in the back row and you say, well, you know what, preacher, I dare you to teach me something I don't already know. And we sit around, we become very critical. You know, I've been in that situation. I've seen some good old-fashioned Baptists walk into the back doors of the church and they sit around and they want to be critical and they want to criticize and this and that and on and on it goes. I mean, they want to criticize about every little thing all the way down to which color of offering plates the church is going to buy. But you know what, folks? That's not a beautiful aroma of a servant. A servant smells great. Because that servant has given her all. I could not end this message by any means with the illustration of William Borden. Probably you recognize where I was going with this, and rightly so. You know the story of William Borden. You probably heard it from this pulpit over and over again. But folks, I tell you what, when you read about his life, you're amazed at what he went through. William Borden was the heir to the Borden Dairy Estate in 1903. His parents took him, sent him on a trip around the world after high school. He came back a little more different than what his parents thought he would be. He came back on fire for God, ready and willing to go to China to reach people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, you know what, Dad, Mom, I'm going on to Princeton. I'm going to go into Yale. I'm going to study and I'm going to be a missionary. And he did that. He writes in his Bible, two words, no reserves. Millionaire fortune, he gave it up to go be a missionary. No doubt, when he was going through college, when he was going through all the different things preparing for that mission field, he would have friends, neighbors, relatives walk up to him and say, you are a fool for going to the mission field and passing up a millionaire fortune. You're nuts. You're crazy. He faced all kinds of opposition, but he said, God has called me to do this. I will do it. God doesn't want my money. He wants me. Maybe God doesn't want your money. He wants you, folks. He went over to China. He was getting ready to go to China. He stopped in Egypt. And as he stopped in Egypt, he was dead within a month of cerebral meningitis. People will say, hey, you know what? What happened? I'll tell you what. What a waste. No. He gave a beautiful sacrifice to God, which is an example, much like Mary, that lives on today. No regrets. When they found his Bible, they found those words. No reserves, no retreat, no regrets. Where are you tonight? When it comes down to it, are you serving God with all your heart? Maybe you've become a little weary in well-doing. Let me remind you, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't give in. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Very simple message. Very easy message to understand. Very easy message for me to explain. Very wonderful passage of Scripture to really study out. But I did not come here tonight to merely preach. God called me and ordained us to be here tonight. I did not plan on being here. I did not know I was going to be here tonight until Thursday morning. Let me ask you this. Did God call you here tonight because you need to hear this message? There may be some here tonight that say, you know what, Evangelist Boyle, I'm struggling with some different things. I'm kind of one on the other side. I'm a critical spirit. I'm a person that's always criticizing the church, whatever it may be. And the reason for that is that you've never put your true faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't doubt by any means that there could be someone here in this audience tonight that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've seen deacons walk the aisle and get saved. I've seen pianists walk the aisle and get saved. I've seen all kinds of different people walk the aisle and get saved, folks. I don't question, I don't doubt it any means. Anybody can really put on a good act. Folks, I'm saying this. Are you on the right side? You see, Judas. Judas is in that crowd. He was very vocal on the opposition side because he didn't know Jesus. He didn't understand who Jesus was. He was the one out of the 12. Is there someone here tonight that would say, you know what, Evangelist Boyle, I stink spiritually because I don't know Christ. If you would have that courage tonight, I want to pray for you. I am not, by any means, don't get me wrong, I don't want to embarrass you in any way. That is not my intent. But I merely want to pray for you. If there is someone here tonight, you're struggling with stinking spiritually because you've never, ever been to the foot of the cross. You've never been to the Savior. If you recognize that tonight, I know this may not have been the exact point of the message, but if you recognize that tonight, would you have the courage and the quietness of this moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, just to catch my eye, please? Just to catch my eye. I don't want to embarrass you in any way. If you're struggling with your need of a Savior tonight, I want to give that opportunity to you. Would you just catch my eye, please? Christian, are you surrendered? Are you dedicated? Are you giving your all? I don't doubt it. You know what? You could go through all the college life you can think of. You can go through life, never even, and serve God in a church as a principal of a Christian school and never have given your all and dedicated your life. Have you done it tonight? Have you given your all? Have you laid your all on the altar? As we sang a few minutes ago. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? The Lord spoke to my heart tonight about surrendering my life to Him, dedicating my life to Him. I don't want to embarrass you in any way. If you have the courage and you want to say that, preacher, pray for me. I'm struggling with that tonight and I'd like to do that tonight. Would you just have the courage to slip up your hand, please? Yes. We're here on my right. No one else is looking around, please. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Any others this evening? Any others? You want to surrender your life to Him this evening? I'm going to pray for you. Any others? Okay. Let me ask you this. Maybe you've surrendered your life to Him, but you have quit. You make up all kinds of excuses not to be involved in this church. All kinds of excuses not to pass out tracts. And you stink spiritually. People don't flock to be around you because you have a critical spirit. You want that spirit back. You want that smell back. That beautiful aroma. There any tonight would say, preacher, would you pray for me? I've quit. I want to renew that dedication to Him. Would you just have the courage to slip up your hand, please? Would you have the courage to slip up your hand, please? Any tonight, you want to renew that dedication to Him. You've been tempted to quit. You want to quit. Maybe you have quit. Okay. All right. We're going to stand in a moment. If you need to do business with God, the altar will be open. There'll be people here to help you out if you need that. If you need to just come here at the altar and just pray a little bit, that'd be fine. We'll hold it as long as we need to, but no longer. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for the example of Mary. Hold Your Father, I pray, that example would live out in our lives. That people would see Jesus Christ in us, the ultimate servant. That came and that sacrificed His life for you and for me. Help them, help the people to see that in their lives. Help us to be a light in this world. Help us to smell great spiritually. Pray for those that have raised their hands saying they want to dedicate their life this evening. Father, give them the stamina. Give them the strength. Help them to go out and serve You with all their heart. It's in Your dear precious name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing a closing hymn of invitation number